I set a rapid pace across the town square, paying little attention to the activities of others around me, until a woman bumped me in passing. When I glanced up, I noticed a man languishing in the pillory. He was a stranger to me, a smallish fellow with an eye patch who looked near 40 years of age. His skin was the colour of acorns, and he was rather handsome, or would be if he wasn't splattered with mud and rotten food. Dead rats lay at the man's feet. Whatever his crimes, he didn't deserve this sort of treatment. I would have moved on, but his leather wristband caught my eye. A cat's head made of pewter was set into it, but more importantly, its style bore a striking resemblance to a band owned by my mother, except hers was a fox. She'd been wearing it when she disappeared from our house. It was the only day I could recall her in every detail, down to the clothes and jewellery she wore, and the way her face was framed by several soft strands of hair that had fallen loose from her braid. My other memories of her floated like wispy clouds through my mind, often taking on new forms, so that I could never be sure what was true and what imagined. When I stopped to ask the man where he'd gotten the wristband, he stared down at me with a curious look in his one good eye. After a pause, he answered in a thick voice, his throat hoarse, no doubt, from the pressure of the stocks.
"I don't know. I've had it a long time. Why?"
My mother had a fox bracelet just like it. His gaze sharpened.
"Had? Did she lose it?"
"No, she... Never mind. I'm sorry to bother you. Wait." He exploded into a fit of coughing, and I waited for it to subside.
"Does it look like I have better things to do than speak with you?" he said.
"No, but I'm in a hurry."
"What's your mother's name? Maybe she came from my village."
"Gillian Skye."
"I haven't heard of her. Where is she now? I'd like to speak with her."
She isn't here." A boy of about 12 leapt onto the raised platform and kicked the box out from under the man's feet, and since he was not very tall, he was left dangling from the pillory. Other boys laughed from the square as the man gagged and choked.
"I'll tell your mothers on you,"
I shouted, and the boys dispersed, racing away to find some other victim to torment, no doubt. Seeing no one else coming to the man's aid, I pulled myself up onto the platform and slid the box back under his feet.
"Thank you. Thank you so much," he croaked. "I'm Calder Osric."
"Why did they put you here?" I said.
"Fortune-telling is a dangerous business, if things don't come out as you predicted. Sometimes more so when they do."
I glanced around to confirm no one was watching. Then I whisked out the ring of skeleton keys from my pouch and began to try them on the padlock that held the pillory together. It was a warded lock, which was not likely to require my picks or shims.
"Thank you, but I'm quite sure that isn't going to..."
Calder said. The fourth key turned and caused the latch to spring open. "I'm Tessa Skye, the locksmith's daughter," I said. "Wait till I'm gone before you let yourself out."
"I owe you a palm reading, and I have a feeling your future will be bright."
I glanced back once as I hurried away to see Calder lifting the top half of the pillory and slipping out of it. With surprising speed and agility, he jumped down from the platform, retrieved a bag at the bottom of it, and sprinted away. I wondered if I might ever see him again. But I pushed the incident from my mind as I sped to the doorstep of the Kettlemore home, where Mrs. Kettlemore answered my knock with a sour look.
"Don't need your services no more."
"I thought you had a chest that wanted opening," I said.
"Needed it sooner than later. When the collector came, he just told his boarmen to smash it. There weren't much inside, but they took it all anyway. Now we can't sell the chest neither."
"My apologies," I said. Mrs. Kettlemore slammed the door in my face.